This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next on Plains FM, host Tina Dacom-Luke interviews inspiring women on This Is Who We Are. Welcome, I'm Tina Dacom-Luke and this is Who We Are. Life happens while we're busy making plans, and 2020 is proving this true. Wherever you are on this planet, I hope you are well, I hope you are safe, and I hope you have what you need. My previous podcast before lockdown saw me chatting to a Kiwi in Stockholm. That conversation highlighted to me how different other countries are experiencing this pandemic. New Zealand, our little land of the long white cloud, is faring well, being an island nation at the bottom of the world. One strand I have seen evident in many places is the power and connection available via the creativity of the arts sector. Be that TikTok, music, dance, ballet, musicians giving concerts from home, virtual tours of galleries and museums, or art lessons via Zoom. I enjoyed opera via Rome, New Zealand ballet, concerts, poetry, and songs being created in lockdown. It got me wondering, what is the importance of the arts to humanity? Art makes people optimistic. It can spread a message of inspiration. Art can be a form of communication between people, to focus on common issues for the betterment of humankind. Humans are hardwired to prioritise and decode visual stimulus. Art allows us to develop new ways of thinking. It encompasses our values, ideas, and helps to correlate to each other what the imagination is capable of. Art represents the fabric of being human, and during this lockdown, it has in all its forms shown it is essential for society. Today I'm delighted to have a very talented artist in the studio. So pull up a chair, grab a drink, get comfy, and I'll introduce her after this.
Through the corridors of sleep, past shadows dark and deep, my mind dances and leaps in confusion. I don't know what is real, I can't touch what I feel, and I hide behind the shield of my illusion. So I'll continue to pretend my life will never end, and flowers never bend with the rainfall. The mirror on my wall casts an image dark and small, but I'm not sure at all it's my reflection. I'm blinded by the light of God and truth and right, and I wander in the night without direction. So I'll continue to pretend my life will never end, and flowers never bend with the rainfall. No matter if you're born to play the king or pawn, for the line is thinly drawn between joy and sorrow. So my fantasy becomes reality, and I must be what I must be and face tomorrow. So I'll continue to pretend my life will never end, flowers never bend with the rainfall.
Welcome to the studio, Louise. So lovely to have you in here.
Thanks, Dina. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's so nice to be face to face. We are social distancing, I will have you know. And we did use a little bit of the old hand sanitizer, which I have to say my hands are getting quite dry from it. So how are you, Louise? How's lockdown been for you?
Yes, I'm good. It's been a polar experience, really. I've had the four kids at home, which is it's really nice to have them all about doing their own kiddie thing. They're pretty independent with what they go about in their daily lives and all their own passions, so I can take a bit of a step back these days and dabble in my own thing. So it's given me a lot more time to just sit back and review where I am and perhaps try something new and, experience just something a bit different.
Did you notice any creative juices bubbling to the surface?
Yeah, I did. That normally happens when things are quiet. So a few projects that have been put aside for one day, the rainy day.
The rainy day came.
So I've started building a doll's house, which was reminiscent of my grandfather who built a replica of his house when I was a kid, and I really love playing with it. So this is something that I've been planning for a while. So I've got that up and running, which is a replica of our little 1860s cottage.
Oh, yay.
And hope that the grandchildren can play with it one day.
You are, getting ready in advance.
I'm hopeful.
Oh, that's awesome. So What have you noticed that's unlocked inside of you even doing that, looking at where you're living and then creating that in miniature?
Oh, it's just given me the opportunity to focus on it. I'm very pulled in all directions and just being available, really. So I've been able to sit down for a few hours at a time and just get engrossed in it and get back into that space of connection. So it's a really nice feeling.
Yes, it would be. Mm. So at what age would you say you were when you realised that you perhaps had a tad of an artistic slant?
I couldn't tell you exactly, actually. I would have been between 7 and 8. And so at school, at primary school especially, I was painfully shy. I would not say a word, and I would blush at the thought of blushing every other day. And I had a real problem expressing myself with words. And also what I picked up on from other people with what they were speaking didn't really quite relate to how I was feeling and how everybody else was. And it just really distressed me that there weren't enough words or I wasn't able to articulate what was going on. So I more or less gave up on that idea and I remained quite quiet at school. But I did like drawing. And then there was an opportunity through clubs at school where they had different sort of clubs that were something interesting to do on a Wednesday afternoon, just to fill in time. And I liked the idea of this poster club. I thought, oh, I'll try a poster club. And I learned a couple of techniques and drew a foal, because horses were my thing at the time. And it was magnificent. And I was so impressed and so proud of myself for drawing this foal that I carried it around for ages and thought, wow, I can actually do something with this. And it was probably more the space it took me, I think, when I was in that process, and I felt a lot more calm and I felt I didn't need words at all. So that's where it took me, and I just kept going from there.
And how quickly was that seen from the outside world? Was it quite obvious straight away from that poster teacher? Did she kind of notice your innate ability?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you'd take your work home to your parents and they'd say how lovely it was, and as parents do, but you can always pick up on when they are genuinely impressed with your efforts. And I think part of what it gave me was also something I could give to other people. So later on, and I got over my fear of drawing portraits, probably not to my 20s really, and started drawing portraits for people. And I could feel that connection when I gifted somebody a portrait or commissioned a portrait. And I could feel that from them as well. So it kind of came full circle. And it was just that moment of connection that took somebody out of their everyday life, their space, and you could see that. And that's where I really liked to be and liked to experience giving that to somebody else.
And how do you go about doing a portrait? Do the people have to sit for a long period of time?
Or oh, no.
Do you do
oh, no. Oh, no. They would have to sit for a very long time. I'm not
Those
fast.
Those days ago.
Yeah. So all I need is a photo, really, a high-resolution, good-quality photo, and that's it. I can...
So I guess a favourite photo is best because that's going to have the life and vibrancy of the client in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for
those
sure.
Sparkly moments.
Yep. And, yeah, just whatever's particular to... It's always somebody else who commissions me to do a portrait of their family. It's not normally the person that I'm drawing.
Yes.
Quite often it's someone who's deceased or someone that's very special. And it's really nice in the process of drawing that... that I can just sit with it, and it can be quite emotional sometimes too. But it's, yeah, it's really lovely.
What medium do you use to do the portraits in?
Charcoal mostly these days.
Yeah. What do you like about that?
It's messy. I love its messiness. And I can smudge it and get messy. And yeah.
Do you
yeah,
find that
flexible.
Perhaps gives more emotion to the picture? The fact that you can smudge and because our lives are all a bit smudgy and messy, aren't they?
Very, very smudgy. Yeah, I do. I've tried working with paints before, but once it's set, more or less. And I just find more movement with the charcoal. I like taking it back to black and white as well. It's almost less to look at, but more feeling in it. Yeah.
I can agree with that because I've been to some houses that have your pictures there and they always draw my eye and I can always feel the personality of the person that you're drawing, and it's often amazed me of how that's achieved because I can draw stick people and that they occasionally have fingers and toes and that's about it. But I really admire people that have that ability.
Thanks, Tina.
I just do mine in colour, I guess.
Colour's great.
So what about your children? What do they think of mum being an artist, and have they followed in that genre?
Oh, they're very tolerant. and when I say tolerant, after I had my fourth child, I got a DSLR camera. And I'd always liked photography but never really had much time for it. And also the art, the painting and the drawing kind of took a back seat while there were so many little kids around. It was just too much to pick up and pack up afterwards. So the camera became my next port of call, and naturally the kids became my poor subjects. They've kind of left that now. They don't want me chasing around after them when they're naked. So, but I got a good few years in there where I did capture their more feral moments, for want of a better word. But in their natural surroundings, I was never keen on setting up photo shoots where they were all looking at me smiling. It just didn't seem to capture the true essence of childhood. So I would just stalk them. In the mud and in the nude and in the rain and wherever they happen to be, and I would chance upon some pretty good little moments where I'd just say, freeze, don't move, muscle, and I'd go and find the camera and come back and take a photo. So I would work a lot from those images as well in my portraiture. Yeah. And even added a bit of colour now and again, one colour.
How does your environment shape you? Because you're living somewhere beautiful.
Oh, that's... It's a blessing. It's really a blessing to live over there by the sea and to have everything at my fingertips, because there is a lot of nature in my work. It might not be as visible in the finished product, but as far as the initial image goes or the kids in their natural habitat, then it makes the world a difference to the feeling that the images provoke.
And I guess it nourishes your soul.
Yes, it nourishes my soul.
So what else nourished your soul during lockdown? What did you find yourself being drawn to artistically to fill up with? Was it music or dance?
No, I kind of took a different slant. Over the last 5 years, I did a course where I had to write assignments, and during that time I rediscovered my passion for writing, which I loved writing stories when I was a kid, but that would also frustrate me too because I didn't have the words and the vocab, and there just wasn't enough out there for me to put into words, or I didn't know how.
Yeah.
So I guess over the last 18 months I've been jotting down at night in my phone notes little bits and pieces, and I've got a great accumulation now of random words and things that don't make sense. So I'm sifting through them and putting them together in some sort of format that resembles poetry.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and I'm discovering more that it wasn't perhaps the words that I was lacking, but just how to put them together. You can get very different meanings from words. It's just more of the placement in the poem that can convey a completely different feeling to, you know, the same words put together differently.
So true.
Hmm.
So can you see, if you look back to your childhood to where you are now, the progression in reclaiming yourself? You talked as a young child about how you found it difficult to speak, and you would often blush and you couldn't find the words, and that perhaps what I'm seeing from what you're expressing is a real reclaiming of you to be able to express your artistic slant.
You are so right. And it's a kind of a rebirth, because it's still generally difficult for me to use a spoken word, but it's much easier to put them all together on paper and get it that way. And I think that's a natural progression and will eventually come out in my spoken word. One can hope, anyway.
I find you very articulate and expressive.
Thank
We're
you.
Often really hard
I'm
on
good
ourselves.
Company.
What I find too is that when I'm in like the thread of something, the words just flow. But if I'm not in that thread, then I too just go, I don't know what words to find.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sometimes what I have to do is pause and really get out of my own way. Because it's often that I'm holding on really, really tight in my mind, and
looking
then I'll get a headache.
Right one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be in that right space, don't you? And often I'll come back and tend to rewrite it again. Partly if the poem doesn't actually look right, or it doesn't feel balanced when I'm saying it aloud in my head. Aloud in my head?
Yes.
That doesn't make sense.
It does to me, so that's a worry.
It has to look a certain way as well, strangely enough, when you know, that's part of the pictorial thing, I guess, the artistic bent. But yeah, I don't know where I was headed with that one. But no, it's just more than just how it sounds to me. Yeah, it has to fit like a puzzle.
Yeah. I guess something that I really love about the arts is that it gives us permission to be playful and creative and imaginative and not have to follow a linear line, that we can actually be messy and squiggly, and it can take us to so many different places that we perhaps wouldn't have even dreamed of at the start of the creative process.
Yeah, that explains our weirdness.
Yeah. And the other thing I love about it is there's no right or wrong.
Yeah.
It really is, everybody has a different perspective. And some people love a certain genre, and other people are drawn in a different direction, and that there's something in that kaleidoscope for all of us.
Yeah, and and it was never in it for an agenda or a message I had to convey. It's never been about that for me. Initially, it was just I could do something that looked beautiful.
Yeah.
And in a way, that's still the same. That hasn't changed at all, because I want something that will make people stop and they'll see something in it, and it will take them straight to that place of connection, and you can see it. It takes them away from everything that's happening in their life.
Yes.
And just brings them back into themselves. And that's all I'm doing. There's no message behind my art. People can interpret it however they like. It's just something to make them feel.
And that's a gift when we're given that freedom to be able to choose to have our own experiences with art. I used to struggle at high school with my art history teacher because we were told how we had to view the art.
Yes.
And I would go, oh, that's so interesting, because I'm having a different experience of it, and there was no space in the classroom for that discussion. So I really do hope that's changed now.
I'm hoping it's changed too. My experience was very similar.
Mm.
Yeah. I wasn't making enough mistakes. I'm the most lovely art teacher.
What were you meant to do?
You're not making enough mistakes. Make more mistakes and threw ink blots all over my art.
How did that feel?
Oh, I resigned myself to that after a while.
Oh, that would have, if I was like really engaged in a process and someone did that to me, I think I'd feel quite gutted.
I don't think I engaged too much at school. It wasn't the environment where I could draw or do any sort of art without feeling restricted. So my best work wasn't done there, that's for sure.
So what did you do after high school?
I went nursing.
Yeah. Oh, quite the opposite. Well, I guess unless you were artistic with the needles. I don't know.
Sometimes, yes. No, it was a real job, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was something I had to do.
Did you feel
myself.
You had to or that you needed to?
Yeah, there was. There was a feel, I felt that I needed to or had to have something stable
mm-hmm.
In order to, I guess, be able to do the other fun stuff or hobby stuff as it was mostly looked at the time. Yeah, so I really didn't get back into art for quite a long time, probably, yeah, mid-20s, yeah.
Was it tender getting back into it after a break or was it like putting on an old jacket?
It was a bit. It's like, can I still do this? You know, my marks at high school were pretty lousy and it does, I had a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Just self-consciousness around that.
Yes.
But once I got started again, then, yeah, it kind of flowed. And I could do what I wanted to as well. So.
And your husband, how does he view this side of you? Is he open to your creativity?
He is open to my creativity. We're very different, but he really loves my own unique twist on things and, yeah, how I express myself through my art.
That's a gift too. Have you drawn him?
Actually, yes, I have. A long time ago, about 20 years ago, I drew him.
Aww.
So I might have to do the updated version soon.
He might not want the updated version.
I quite like that thought, actually. I never did like drawing hair very much. So
so you might stick with someone long enough and they become easier to draw.
Yep, that's right. A few more wrinkles.
What are you hoping that you pass on to your children around being able to be free and artistic and creative?
Oh, I just want my kids to be themselves. I really love watching them grow and develop and I don't want to force anything upon them. They're very individual. They're all completely different. Inky is very artistic, hence the nickname. And she would love to do tattoos one day. She's way better than I ever was at her age. She's just got a natural gift for that. But I just love to see them thrive and be who they're going to be.
That is a gift.
Yeah.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. And it's so nice to see your face.
Thank you for having me, Tina.
As Louise was leaving the studio, I asked her how she could be reached for portrait commissions. If you would like to explore or have a squiz, you can contact her via Facebook on The World Around the Corner. And she mentioned that that title comes from a Morris G book that she loved as a child, because I thought it sounded familiar, but I just couldn't quite place it. So here we are, level two. On our way, hopefully, down to level one. I really hope you're all well. It's been such a treat to be back chatting with you again. I hope you didn't mind my repeats over lockdown. I was one of those unlucky people that had the flu, but luckily the normal flu, apparently. And I can categorically say that those tests aren't enjoyable. So let's all do our bit. Let's stay social distancing. Let's wash our hands. And I have to say that I'm actually quite excited to hopefully see washing our hands and staying away from each other while we're sick continues, because I kind of actually think it's common sense, but I'll leave that up to you. So lovely to be back with you. Take care and I'll chat to you next time. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can listen to it again via Plains FM.